Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, it's Haaland versus Salah in a Black Friday deal. Don't touch the foot spa. You don't need the foot spa. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. It's Friday, 24th of November. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Jim
Carr. You really haven't done this in a while, have you?
No. It's Haaland versus Salah in a Black Friday deal. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. It's Friday, 24th of November. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Andy Brassel.
I'm Jim Carr.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I know that was yesterday. Is there a day after Thanksgiving? I'm going to point my attention to you, Vish. You probably experienced a few.
I'm actually celebrating my Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Ah.
I eat so much food. But you kind of touched on it. It is Black Friday. It's just going, to, you know, queuing up outside a shop and then fighting the staff.
Picking up a big 55-inch telly and punching people.
Are you guys thinking of The Purge?
Oh, yeah. We always do. We do that a lot on the show, don't we?
Yeah.
We can choose everything with The Purge.
Is it The Purge? Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever attempted Senator Tim Kaine's creamed onions that he posted on Twitter? I mean, I don't know whether creamed onions is a thing.
I've seen people saying it's a British thing, which I can confirm it is not.
Well, why do we always get lumped with that kind of stuff?
Because
of the things we've done.
Yeah,
true.
It could be worse.
The onions were not sliced. They were just like... They look like raw onions in a load of cream.
In what looked like a sort of kidney shaped dish as well, which added to the horror.
It looked very 1970s. I'm surprised some kind of a meat jelly wasn't involved. Yeah. Kind of like
that's a good show. Yeah.
Carnation milk on onions.
Raw boiled egg.
Disgusting.
In there. Raw boiled egg. Boiled egg. Or a raw egg.
Can you raw boil an egg?
No.
Raw dog an egg. the Premier League is back. Gentlemen, and what are we looking forward to this weekend? We'll kick off with you, Andy.
I'm looking forward to seeing what sort of fettle Joe Linton will be in for Newcastle versus Chelsea.
Yes.
Because after his tour de force in the Brazil-Argentina game, where he comes on a sub, does his normal five fouls or whatever, gets sent off. I imagine it would just like run on the pitch, probably still in his Brazil kit. Right? Like, what's going on? I haven't been to bed.
I'm still pumped.
I just can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's
man of the match performance incoming.
It's a classic 3 o'clock kickoff as well. I think that's going to be a bit of a barn burner at 3 p.m. So I look forward to not watching that. Vish.
I'm looking forward to the first game of the weekend, Man City-Liverpool, not because it's going to be a good game, but because I'm pretty sure that there is going to be a plane flying overhead with a message from Everton fans. And I quite like the... I think a lot of thought has gone into it, and I think that's quite smart. When I think they're doing it for max exposure, but also like... Man City. Ooh.
When you say
Max Exposure sounds like the pilot.
When you say a lot of thought has gone into it, you mean they've sat around and gone, we could spend this money on helping the disadvantaged in our community, but we're going to spend it on a fucking plane.
The food bank's closed.
Well, maybe well, you don't know that they might take the plane back and be like, look here, we got here's a plane for you.
Yeah, throw some canned goods out.
Yeah.
Some creamed onions.
Have a little walk around the plane. Yeah. It's not Boeing, is it? It's just flying a flag.
It wouldn't take very long to walk around a biplane, effectively, from the Second World War. Jim?
Howard Webb this week has
just
instructed...
Just full stop. Yeah. What Howard Webb's up to.
No, not quite, but he's instructed referees to step in on soft penalties, essentially.
Right.
So I am looking forward
to hard-boiled penalties.
A player getting their head kicked clean off of their shoulders and nothing being given.
Yeah.
We'll hear the footage later and be like, yeah, a Hadouken was used, but it was reasonable force. Yeah, good process.
He climbed on him and electricity came out of his skin and turned the man to a little skeleton. And
not a pen for me.
Not a pen. Well, the early kickoff on Saturday will be Manchester City versus Liverpool. First in the league faces second. A celebration of the curtain raiser of a Premier League weekend. Did you see Jurgen Klopp putting a Sky reporter in a headlock at the training ground saying thanks for the 12:30? He hates 12:30. He's done
really
that
does.
Block.
It's one of those things where he's just, I'm just having a bit of a joke, but I'm not joking really.
Yeah.
It's very passive aggressive. And what I like about it is the reporter goes on to say the sentence that he's clearly been practicing 7 or 8 times in the car. Jurgen, I was watching the under-21s and Jurgen Klopp gives him the look as if to sort of go, this scene is done.
Yeah.
The cameras have seen what I've done. Get out of my face.
Your content.
Adieu. I just think I don't like to see a tall man abuse a smaller man because I've been on the receiving end of those physicality so many times.
You'd be right in the armpit.
I would
be right. Would be in the
I
armpit,
bet Klopp's armpit smells all right though, no?
Yeah, it's probably quite nice, but it's still, even a nice smelling armpit is an armpit, isn't it?
Oh, someone's not into armpits, pathetic.
Is this the bit where you're trying to like put out a cry for help? Like Luke gets me in a headlock.
It's the Luke Peach Luke training regime. He just gets me in his big shacket and forces me.
He loves a shacket, doesn't he?
He loves a shacket. Yeah. He loves talking about shackets. The shacket culture is very much something that he's very, very into. Last time out in April, Manchester City did beat Liverpool 4-1. Very different situation, Andy, right now.
Fair to say. And I think, I know fans hate to hear, for the good of the league and for the balance of the league and for the league title and all the rest of it. I mean, this needs not to be a City win, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For the good of everyone. Now, I know City
aren't... It's a very quick yes, Jim.
Yeah.
Right in
there.
I
know City aren't streaking away or anything yet, but City winning this would give that feeling of, oh, here we go again. Because it's always been this season, really, about how many points can the other teams squirrel away in advance of City before they really kick into gear like post Christmas. Especially when, realistically, you look at their squad and it's a bit better than last season.
Mm.
And also, even if it's impossible for them really to reproduce, you know, think of their absolute top performance in the semi-final second leg against Real Madrid last season. Even if it's impossible to reproduce that, because quite honestly, that is the best football I've ever seen in the flesh. Mm. They've hinted at that a few times this season. Mm. So I don't think they've played brilliantly this season. They've not been uber consistent, but they're a lot better than they were in the first half of last season. And that's worth remembering. I think the bar is higher for them this year. And that's why, obviously, Liverpool have improved a lot as well. And that's why, without getting too sort of sanctimonious about it, the league needs Liverpool to do something.
Yeah. I mean, City have lost twice already. And obviously, Liverpool are only a point behind them and very much in a title race if you would, you know, project one from here at this point. But
yeah, for sure.
I think the point still stands that that is what we want, isn't it? We want a race. So
it's not actually about the points. It's about, I'm going back to your Howard Webb thing, it's about the feeling.
Yeah.
Isn't it? The feeling of what works for us as a football culture.
But is there a technique or a tactic that works against Manchester City other than, I just hope they play like they did against Wolves? Do you know what I mean? Like,
get Rodri sent off?
But like, you know, Salah against Guardiola's quite an interesting little matchup.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, he's obviously the City with their, you know, 4 centre-backs, and obviously John Stones is out for this, I think, as well. Mm. So there's a bit less control there. But if you think with their 4 centre-backs, Salah's got a good opportunity there to really twist someone who's Guardiola's played very well this season, but I suppose he's not really been tested going the other way, like running back towards his own goal.
You're right.
Being twisted one way or the other. Mm. Also, just because like the way City's back line has been framed as basically four big blokes, all I'm picturing is Darwin Nunez bouncing off them like pinball, just like rattling through them, and basically just trying to find like an opening, not
one,
through
two, three,
any cunning.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I'm quite looking forward to how Nunez approaches this, because like if you think of what, you know, the kind of player that would really cut through them, I know I mentioned Salah, but like you think of someone like Suarez as well. Suarez would be like ideal for like prodding at a gap, trying to find an opening. And Nunez is a bit more, I suppose, in more ways than one.
Chaotic.
He's a bit, chaotic, but also quite blunt as well. He's a very blunt striker, which is why he's quite enjoyable, because he's so direct. But I think this would be a nice little challenge for him. I'm not entirely sure how many minutes he's actually going to get, but even if he comes on in the second half, I think it would be quite cool.
We've seen enough from him this season that, you know, he can bring it in any game. I still think he'll end up, and I know I've got a certain figure to hit, otherwise Marcus wins a 20p off me or something like that.
It's the face I can't stand he does when he does it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the face I can't stand. Even he could get like within a hair's breadth, he could have had three goals disallowed in the last game to not make your target, and Marcus would still have that little grin, that S-eating G.
I think Darwin will get there, and this game is really set for him to have a go. But what Vish was saying before, because it's a little bit like Harry Kane ended up with 30 goals last season, isn't it? Salah is so consistently incredible that he ultimately ends up being underrated in the weirdest way. This could easily be his game.
Well, there's the two best players in the league, for my money, are playing in this game tomorrow, and that's Salah and Bernardo Silva. Mm. And they're both, I would say you'd refer to them both as underrated top tier players.
I think there's a sense with a player like that, or players like those two individuals, that I guess Haaland has this a bit as well. And there were even points where Ronaldo had this at Man United. It looks like the game is easier for them, so the praise comes a bit harder.
Which
is obviously not the case.
It's like they don't
perspire. They just make it look easy.
Yeah, they don't perspire. So it's like, oh, he's not really putting in any effort, is he?
Well, you set your own levels, I suppose. As we do on The Ramble, one would say, and it's deliciously low. Speaking of Darwin Nunez, Luis Suarez called him one of the best number nines in the world during the international break. Nunez said he's trying to follow in the footsteps of Suarez. Just give him the 7-game ban for racism now. Get it out of the way.
What I particularly enjoyed...
Oh, do I have to do that, Louis? Yeah, well, look, it worked for me. Don't
get
worry, everyone.
Get chompers out.
Those teeth? You want to sharpen those?
Following the teeth steps.
Don't worry, everyone will wear T-shirts the next week. It's fine.
What I particularly enjoyed about this is because Suarez came out with this very reasonable quote, one of the best number nines in the world, got quickly truncated to the best number nine in the world. Suarez is out of his mind. He said he's the best number nine in the world. Of all time.
Yeah.
And actually what you said is, you know, pretty reasonable, isn't it?
You journalists have got a lot to answer for, Andy.
Yeah, Andy. What have you been playing at?
Can't trust you.
Well,
classic
on the
MSM.
On the other side, Man City's number nine, Erling Haaland, is apparently, he's unhappy with the quality of fish in Manchester.
Yeah.
Which is a sentence that sounds like it's straight out of like a Tricolor book or something. It just doesn't seem right. But apparently he's been organising a special shipment of salmon from Norway, because he's just been unhappy with the standard of fish.
Terrifying thought.
Yeah. It's like Ian Rush in the baked beans when he was at Juventus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what? He got a lot of baked beans sent over from Liverpool? Liverpool baked beans.
An unspecified UK location.
Do we not get our salmon from Norway? Or is it from Scotland?
I imagine...
A bit of both.
Yeah. I imagine that Norway keeps the best salmon though, right?
Yeah.
What, do they pull a net in over their side of the shipping? Are you shipping lanes? The fishing lanes? The fishing waters? Our waters, Jim?
I don't know, mate.
I don't know either.
Ask a Brexiteer. So this is presumably coming over on some sort of terrifying Norwegian long plane. the idea of him like demanding
this
shipment of special super fish to make him even more efficient.
Do you think it's just drifting unmanned on fire on its way to Erling Haaland?
I think that man has such mystical powers. He could just sort of like stand in Liverpool dock and just sort of like bring the salmon towards him.
You mean like Aquaman?
Yeah, like Aquaman.
I think
he's got Aquaman vibes.
Definitely. There was an amazing quote in in the article I read about this that said he regularly downs a magic potion of cow's milk smoothies laced with spinach and kale and enjoys feasting on cow hearts and liver. It's like, oh, this is exactly...
It's like Liver King.
This is the sort of thing you joke about him doing and he actually does do it.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, so he drinks smoothies.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like a milkshake to me. That's a milkshake.
And he's eaten at St. John's restaurant. Yeah. Nose to tail dining. Come on.
Those are very active verbs. Yeah.
Well done, Erling. You're middle class, mate.
Nesquik and haggis. Well done. I had a raw mop in Oslo on stage in the Football Ramble Live,
yeah,
remember?
You did, yeah.
I think I was waxing lyrical about how I've never tried a raw mop, and then a Norwegian man turned
just
up
had
with
one.
It. Just gave me a big jar of them. My hands stank of vinegar all night, and I liked
that
it.
That might be quite... Because apparently Erling Haaland farts, doesn't he? When like what? Going up for corners and things.
Oh, does he? Right.
Like, to put off defenders and
is
stuff.
Is that true?
So, apparently, I mean,
are you suggesting he can fart at will?
I mean,
kid in my school could, Nathan Colton. He used to suck the air in, lie on the floor, and then let him rip.
That's come back to bite him now, isn't it? Being so proud of that.
I've lost touch with him.
And this is how he launched his media career.
Is he farts at corners?
Supposedly, I remember reading an article about that, and it was, you know, sort of puff piece thing.
Extra height.
So I can't, you know, confirm or deny it.
Yeah.
But it was very much a puff piece. So if
on whose PR,
he would probably
not
have
his
hands
PR,
the smell of roll mops, is what
tell,
I'm saying.
Tell him about my farting. Tell him about my disgusting life.
He, in every sense, from the way he looks to the way he plays to that, he's designed by a room full of children, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, the biggest man in the world.
Marginal
he hits the ball
games,
hard
mate.
And he farts whenever he wants.
Give him a cape for crying out loud. Elsewhere on Saturday, at 5:30, Brentford versus Arsenal. It's a London Overground Suburban Rail Network derby. It's, what is that, Gunnersbury to Highbury and Islington?
I couldn't tell you.
They're going to be renaming the Overground, a bit London centric, but fuck you, it's best to, you know. They're going to be renaming the Overground. They're going to give them different names, like Northern Line, Central Line. They're going to give them to make it more confusing for tourists. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that,
good. Brentford Arsenal, you fancy it?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of narrative here because David Raya isn't eligible because of Premier League rules about, you know, clubs or players playing for the clubs are on loan out against their parent clubs. So you can do it. Aaron Ramsdale is obviously going to start. This happened in the Carabao Cup already. Brentford fans were chanting, "You're just a shit David Raya," which is kind of funny at the time, but obviously as time's gone on, that might affect him a little bit more, or certainly wind up his dad. We know that. So all the focus is going to be there, isn't it? And I think in the game against Brentford, he was excellent. I've not really seen anything from Ramsdale to suggest on the pitch that he won't give his all.
But he didn't give his all.
I'm fed up with this. Fine.
Eating a raw
mop. Pick him when you
fine.
Can.
Have you seen that Ramsdale's dad has been back on the podcast, Jim?
I haven't
rather
seen that.
Unhelpfully, is a clip.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I'm going to fucking kick your fucking ass. You know, shut up for a second, all right?
That is a shame.
He's got to stop doing this.
You can't go on a podcast and tell people to shut up.
That was Christian Bale on Terminator Salvation Set. Getting very upset with the lighting.
That was when he was like, he keeps calling him amateur. He said, "My God, you're amateur."
In an American accent. Yeah. It's good to see. Jesus, Martin... Odegaard and Martinelli, the House Martins, are back in contention. Injury-wise, things are starting to look a little bit better. Would you be risking Jesus's British Airways long-haul flight to Rio and back?
I wonder if he will start on the bench. I think he probably will. Everyone thought he was injured. Brazil were like, "We don't believe you." And then they called him up anyway. And they were right.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see Jesus play. I think he's only started one game in the Premier League as a striker this season.
What a gamble to get him.
Yeah, I know, right?
Indeed. So it'd be nice to see him back. He makes the front three so much more fluent, and Martin Odegaard potentially being back is massive as well, because it just feels like it's been ages since there's been a... bit of Barclays, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They're going to kind of forget what the team are like. They're going to have to get to know each other again. It's going to be like the start of a new school year.
Why does it feel like it's such
everyone a... looks a bit different.
I mean, yeah. I guess because, like, certainly my side have been watching a lot. We're just playing players I've not seen a lot of. It just seems like the Premier League's just gone off the rails a little bit. Everyone's just playing, like, fringe players, under 21s and stuff.
This is the point to make it sensible again, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah.
If they've got Ramsdale in goal, Havertz at left back,
Let's make some control.
Yeah.
There is a weird, like, I think you touched on it there. Like, there is a weird, not personnel shortage, but like I feel like a lot of teams are dealing with that balancing act of not even just competing on a few fronts, but injuries and suspensions and stuff like that.
Mm. It's a brain drain, but it's a pain drain.
Yeah, yeah, and invariably it might be quite funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was gonna, so this would be if Odegaard starts, this would be his second game that he's played, only the second game he's played this month.
Right.
And I was trying to think back, Jim, to like previous times he's been out of the team and come back in. Like, has he slipped in seamlessly? Like, I feel like because it doesn't stick in my mind that suggests to me that, yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, one of the big kind of, one of his big qualities is availability, to be fair.
Yeah, so right.
We don't see that often. So hopefully he can hit the ground running.
God, gets you excited, isn't it, as a football fan? God, he's available. God, he's available.
Oh, he's so available.
So available.
They could, like, this, you know, you said it is a difficult place to play and Brentford have a good record, but I feel like, you know, without Rico Henry generally, but like now Hickey as well. They are, those, the fullback areas are where they kind of like stretch everything and everyone works within that. But I don't know, like, because of those absences, it feels like they're not going to be the same prospect as they might usually be.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Yeah.
Brentford have definitely done better than I expected they would without Ivan Toney this season.
Yeah.
I think.
He must be back soon. When's he back?
January. Oh, he's training already, isn't he? But I mean,
he was banned from training as well, wasn't it? It was so petty.
That's seems absurd. Like, because you're still employed by the club.
Yeah. Well, they've been quite good at, like, since the betting ban, they've been quite good with him.
Mm.
Like Thomas Frank said from the start, they're like, we shouldn't just isolate this guy. We should keep him involved. And then they've done that, which is fair enough. But I suppose, like, in Mbeumo and Visa,
I'm available. Can't play. You can't play, Ivan.
Go sit in the hallway with Jaden. those two have been just exceptional, really. There was a great thing, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, X, a couple of weeks ago about
don't
how...
play his game, Vish. when Mark is in the chair, he will insist on saying both X and Twitter.
Yeah.
On my watch, feel free to choose whatever.
On Twitter.com,
Twitter.com/tweets.
There was this thing about, they were talking about Brian Mbeumo being underrated because he looks 30.
Right.
And I think that's he responded like, on some social media being like, brother, I'm 23 or something like that. But I think there's something to be said for that, because obviously everyone's looking for Toney for January, but like, people got to be, you know, swirling around Mbeumo trying to pick him up, because he's exceptional.
I love the partnership he has with Johan Visser. It works really, really well, and I think I'm surprised people aren't talking about that a little bit more. Mbeumo seems to be getting a lot of the credit, but the two of them are it's a little bit old school.
It's rare
you see a sort of dynamic duo up front like that.
Old school, and at the same time, it feels like they always play quite far apart, because they're always on the wings.
Well, they're both terrorising, essentially.
Thomas Frank celebrated his fifth anniversary at Brentford last month, which seems like that's kind of flown by. He said that he had a good glass of red and a bit of tapas, which is absolutely lovely.
Did he become a Yorkshireman in the end of the sentence?
Bloody bit of
good
tapas.
Glass of red and a bit of tapas.
I've had ferret balls and I'm trying to think what Yorkshire
ferret
tapas
balls.
Is. I don't know what Yorkshire tapas would look like, guys.
I had
tapas.
Yeah. Just
Yorkshire tapas. Get involved, Jim. Come on.
Oh,
something
like
quintessentially Yorkshire.
Yorkshire pudding. It's in the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yorkshire pudding.
Lovely bowl of Dale. I don't know.
Should accompany it with a shot of Tetley's.
Some tea. Yeah.
I was at Yorkshire Cricket Ground during the summer covering a game, and a lot of the times they put on, you know, various grounds you go to, they put on food, and often it's like whatever's famous in that particular area. And they had Yorkshire poutine.
Nice.
Okay.
Which
right.
was, I don't know what the Yorkshire components were beyond like a bit of beef in the poutine.
Wensleydale, is that a cheese?
Yeah, so that was it. The melted cheese was like local to the area and stuff like that. It was deliciously rancid. I felt awful afterwards, but it was nice, yeah.
Tony, your bowl of rice.
Sure.
The weekend.
The most famous of Yorkshiremen.
Elsewhere, Spurs are hosting Aston Villa, looking to get back on the horse after losing the last two. It is important to arrest this slide, Andy, at this point in the season, I think.
Yeah, so we're saying with...
even though they have been unlucky.
Yeah, we're saying with City, Liverpool and with Spurs playing Villa, you absolutely have to win this weekend, Jim.
You simply have to. Please make this interesting.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? If you are or nominally in a title race, or you have pretensions about being in a title race, if you want to put it that way, you have to win every weekend. Every drop point is a disaster, which is
that's
exhausting.
Why football has become. Maybe it's just like the nip and tuck culture of today. Everyone has to look perfect. You go like you walk past like teenagers. There's no fat kids anymore. Everyone's in the gym. I want to go back to those days where you could lose about 10 matches a season and then be in contention. I don't want the Instagram filters to make everything look perfect all of the time. I want the spots. Where's the spotty kids who are overweight? That's what I want to know.
There are no fat kids anymore.
There's no fat kids anymore. I just want things to be like they were.
So for example, Pete, you might want to be, let's say, 12 points clear at the top of the league.
Exactly.
Think, yeah. Oh, this isn't done yet.
Exactly. That's
this
what
isn't
I want.
Safe.
That was my teenage life. I went from 10 to 14 looking like Macaulay Culkin, and then boof, bad skin, bad eyes, bad teeth. Nobody wants to talk to me. Brilliant. Job done.
Boys,
welcome to
bomb.
The 20s. Oh dear. Well, it's an important week or two for the sides at the top, as discussed. And you know what we're on top of, Jim Campbell?
Nope.
Advertising responsibilities is the answer.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
But this is a question I think I asked last year that you might know the answer of. You might not. It's all about why don't goalkeepers wear caps anymore? All goalies used to wear caps when it was sunny. And now we've got global warming, allegedly.
Holy. Oh, God.
Maybe just the stadiums have got higher so the sun doesn't get in your eyes. Yeah. No fuckhead.
Is he saying the sun should be brighter?
The sun used to be brighter before global warming. I don't know. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Everton's first game since their 10-point deduction, but Everton versus Manchester United will be taking place at 4:30 on Sunday. Everton are 19th in the table on 4 points, and a win here could lift them out of the bottom three. The scene is so typically Everton.
How bad is it going to be, Vic? Exactly. How bad is it going to be?
There's, you could, as a Manchester United fan, you could look at genuinely every fixture on that list and be like, oh no.
Luke did like shout me down saying, well, Man United are the form team in the league. He's got to go, are they though?
Yeah.
Would you, I mean, on the sheet, yeah, but.
It was something, when people caught on to that, I think it was on a Sunday that it happened.
Right.
Because Spurs lost to Wolves, whenever it did, but people tweeted that stat that United were the most informed team in the Premier League as a result of that result, and then it went viral. I would say something like that, but something like that, like your record over the last five games, if that goes viral, whether it's good or bad, it is a surprise. That's why it goes viral.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, God, I didn't know that. Yes. Well, exactly. Because it doesn't look like that. Because no. United aren't actually the form team.
You want somebody giving you a fact about your team, you want to go,
obviously.
Not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, what?
If you look at it through the frame of this particular match, like one of the things that Everton haven't had beyond maybe like the last 2 months of the last two seasons is that togetherness, and that togetherness previously was like, you know what, fuck it, we've got to get out of this somehow. Let's kind of rally around each other, and they got on away with it. This feels completely different because from the top down at the club, even if, you know, Everton fans have long complained about the ownership and stuff like that, there is a kind of wholesale togetherness here and an anger that, you know, the atmosphere at Goodison Park is going to be something like we've never seen before.
And they're,
I mean, it's
known
spicy
for
the best of times, isn't
they've
it?
They've known for pulling together.
I think the timing is important, though, of the 10-point deduction, because if you imagine this 10 points had been taken off Everton like two games into the season, there would have been a sense of we're doomed.
Yes.
Whereas because they've played better in recent weeks, because there seemed like a plan, and because there's been a sense of there are definitely four or five teams in the league worse than us.
Yeah.
That I think there's a bit of belief there that there wasn't before. So at the moment that the verdict fell, I don't think Everton were going to feel downtrodden. They were going to feel this is not right, this is unjust. But it's the sort of spiky reaction that you want. I mean, I don't know anyone who thinks, despite this, and again, this is possibly due to the quality of some of the teams at the bottom of the league, that thinks they're in big trouble here. I think most people still expect them to get out of it.
Yeah.
And it's not very hard to imagine them having an absolutely huge reaction on and off the pitch.
And it's a sort of like, and having that manager in the dugout, you sort of think, well, look, if he'd been drafted in at this point to get them out of this situation, the job would have been way bigger. But at this point in the season, it's kind of all to play for, especially with the other the three that were kind of like pinned to the bottom of the table, which looks like that might, sort of thing might continue.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, they've been in good form recently, haven't they? They're unbeaten in three in the league.
Not the form team, though.
They're not the form team. Play the form team, so this will be an absolute ding-dong, presumably.
One of the form teams, Pete.
Yeah.
that's what I was
thinking
too.
It's the form lads.
But the real test will be when they go through a bad run of form, which inevitably they will at some point. And like, if that's sort of the doom around this decision and the ramifications of the points, if that pressure is something that essentially affects them in a negative way, or if it is something that, you know, galvanizes them, that's the real test ahead, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got quite an interesting set of fixtures going forward. Obviously, they're at home against United, and then between now and the second week of December, they're at home to Newcastle, at home to Chelsea. They play Forest away. Obviously, Forest very good at home. There's loads of, you know,
tough games in there.
Yeah, so with the home element, you're like, oh, you know, this, that kind of atmosphere is just going to keep rolling. But there are some tough games. They then go away,
get a bill at home, I think, in the injury crisis they're currently experiencing.
Yeah, I suppose, but I suppose that's 2 weeks time now, so a couple of things might clear up. And then they go to Burnley. That should be all right. And then Spurs and Man City kind of close out the year. So there is an element of like, you kind of
got to win this one.
Yeah, well, no, but to a point, because what they'd be thinking is like, right, how long will it take us to make up those 10 points?
Yeah.
And they might not do it by the end of the year, but that in itself wouldn't be necessarily a crisis, as it were.
Well, Everton fans are planning to chant Premier League corrupt as fuck in the 10th minute. I would probably advise them to use a different word, because fuck does have, in a Scouse accent, doesn't pass. It's not as clear as it could be. Choose a strongest word.
I think the message is quite clear, actually.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Do you reckon? All right, fine.
So one of the things that's interesting about this is obviously the game's on TV and they want, you know, we talked about the plane at the start.
Yes. Like
they want maximum exposure, don't they? And obviously, because instead of just apologising for the language over TV, they'll probably just quieten down the crowd.
Yeah.
So they should really do it on 9 minutes rather than 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. But how do you keep that secret from... I mean, they shouldn't have announced it, but then I guess how do you get people to do
they
it?
They shouldn't have announced it.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, I mean,
They're going to do it at the start. They're going to do it when the little kid mascots come out.
Because it's quite a different. Like, I wonder if, you know, one of the things that isn't really spoken about when it comes to the broadcasters is like they are in line with the Premier League in terms of selling the product. So they'll show a plane which has like so and so should be sacked, slagging off other teams, whatever. Mm. But when it comes to actually having a go at the league, in a certain way, which in this case is, you know, the administrators and legislation. I wonder how much they will address it, or whether they'll just turn a blind eye, like won't point the cameras up or dial down the volume, that kind of stuff.
Well, the Premier League have pointed out that it was actually an independent regulatory commission that that imposed the deduction, and actually there's quite a lot of precedent of this happening in the Championship and sort of lower down the Football League for breaches of this sort of thing as well. So maybe they'll have another plane. Community note planes.
That'll be the bonus.
Yeah, that would have to be a vote. Like the Premier League chasing their plane.
Yeah. Right. Squawking them. Good stuff. Well, I mean, they are going to turn down the sound, apparently, so it doesn't break Ofcom rules. Ofcom rules. They're just toothless. Just Narks. Do it. Just absolute narc.
Yeah.
The big news is that Harry Maguire's redemption is complete. The Ghanaian MP, Isaac Adongo, who mocked Maguire in Parliament last year, has now apologised to him in court, in session. And he's, I guess that goes on whatever Ghana's Hansard is. Vice President basically said that Maguire is now okay after saying that he's the biggest threat at the centre of Manchester United's defence.
I'm just picturing Marcus's face. Yeah. It's that look that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
If he was sat in the way you are now, he'd be grinning away.
Let's hear from Isaac Adongo, for crying out loud. A section of Man United players reportedly believe that the team's poor start is down to Erik ten Hag's overworking the squad in pre-season. Presumably not even looking at the amount of fixtures that Manchester United have to play. Never mind the manager, mate.
It's interesting that it's been framed as ten Hag doing that. I know they had, you know, presumably had rigorous training sessions because of that, but the amount of pre-season games they played sort of all over the place is absolutely draining and exhausting, and not every team has to do that.
I guess a lot of other teams of size do that. A lot of other clubs of size do that. I mean, I do particularly like the point in the downfall of a manager / head coach where the senior group of players start leaking their theories on why it's going wrong.
Yeah.
None of which are, we are playing terribly at the moment. Yeah. We could be doing a bit more.
Yeah.
Who's the leak?
Maguire.
Well, it's generally...
Imagine.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
Inadvertently, like an MP walking out with you know, like a really important document, but opened and faced.
Do you reckon he left his WhatsApp on WhatsApps on the train or something?
Yeah. But the leaks are generally like... players through agents, really. Like, agents talk a lot, and like Anna, you would have dealt with. They just tell you loads of different things, don't they? They kind of often agents would talk to other agents, so it wouldn't necessarily be the agent of an agent who has a representative at that club, but might know someone who does. Because this stuff always gets out when it just needs to get out. It's not like it's never an accident. These kind of stories are never an accident. And as you said, it's when they kind of see which way the wind's turning, and like then they go that way, because that. If United are in better form, that actually is a story. When someone profiles this game or whatever, that is actually a story of, but it's because we worked so hard on the training ground you know, the messaging was so clear and he was so fierce, but we understand why he did it, this, that and the other.
The benefit will start to show.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, I'm not saying it, so it's broadly bullshit in terms of, I'm not saying that this story is bullshit. I think it's entirely accurate, especially given the source of the news story. I just mean like the whole kind of the cycle, the circus, as it were, is broadly bullshit. Yeah. Mm.
Well, former Everton and Man United man Wayne Rooney had a bit of a setback this week. Derby City Council unanimously voted against plans to honour him with the Freedom of Derby. Why was this nominated? Why was this? Can anyone?
They all wanted to stand up and go, just want to make not it, in make my it city.
Very, yeah. very clear. Yeah. I mean, can you just nominate anyone to have the Freedom of Derby?
Presumably, they want him to get the Freedom of Birmingham first, because he looks set for that, doesn't he?
What do you get if you get the freedom of a city?
Like,
what
a key?
I think it's an oversized key.
Can you do anything?
When you present a charity check or whatever, and it's one of them like sort of 10-foot long ones.
But like, what do you get to do?
I think it's like, you know, the cheat codes on Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You just do what you like.
Right.
No consequences.
So you can like surf on a plane.
A plane will appear out of thin air if you want.
Right. Unlimited
fly
ammo.
On it. Unlimited ammo.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah.
Invincibility for about 5 minutes.
I remember going to the museum in Serbia of Tito, the leader of Yugoslavia for a little bit of time, and the amount of keys he's got in his museum. Whenever a dignitary would turn up, they'd just give him a big key. Mm. And it was like...
implies a lot of secret rooms, which is cool.
He's got about 50 keys. The one from California was like shaped like the cityscape. But it's like beautiful. So as keys go, it's beautiful. What's your best key in your key ring, Jim? What's your favourite key?
Let's have a look.
I've got a long scooter key that's that makes my keys rather unwieldy. If I didn't have a scooter, my life would be improved. Yours is quite Spartan, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd probably say actually the key to this very studio.
Yeah, that's the most.
You've got a key to a studio?
Yeah. You don't even have a fob, do you?
No.
It's outrageous.
To get in the office, listeners, I have to wave through the window and then someone chucks me a key.
Look, Andy's the same. It's a security. risks, both of you.
I'm doing a reverse walk of shame. It feels really undignified.
It's happened again.
But the same happens to me, Vish. And do you know why we get to catch the keys rather than have our own keys? It's because we're the two best slip fielders in the Ramble.
Exactly.
You could even be point.
But sometimes,
Someone get Vish and Andy a key, please.
No, I'll lose it. I'll definitely lose it.
That's why. Yeah. Exactly. Well, the Lard Army fights on. Barnsley have been kicked out of the FA Cup for fielding an ineligible player in their first round replay win at Horsham. They haven't named the player, but surely it's obvious, isn't it? Like, to anyone who cares, a lot of people don't, let's make that very clear. It's suspected to be Aidan Marsh, who was on loan at York City when the first tie took place and then was recalled and started in the replay 11 days later. Could have been better for Barnsley, couldn't it? Really?
Yeah, of course, they won that replay 3-0 as well, so frustrating, but, you know...
The Lard Army fights on.
These things happen. Mm. And it's great news for Sutton, because, of course, Sutton now play Horsham instead of Barnsley now, so Sutton are looking at a third round tie.
Oh, I mean, but if you're a fan of Horsham and you're also a lawyer or very good at kind of like weeding these things out, I'd be straight into like Sutton United's books. Yes. Imagine if you could default like into the third round. How good would that be? And then get like Man City. Like, I know this. Here we go.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's going to be what takes them down.
Well, it is time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. The football season is well and truly underway with Betfair. And if you're looking to get involved in all the action, then look no further. Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your Acca this football season. And this weekend, you can get a completely free Acca or Bet Builder on the football. Today and every Friday, we are building an Acca of 4-match odds, 90 bets from across the Premier League. Jim, you went for Newcastle versus Chelsea. What do you reckon, mate? What do you reckon? Tell us, please.
I have gone for a win for Newcastle. Obviously, you've got a lot of injuries, but St James's Park has become a little bit of a fortress. Chelsea have been absolutely mad lately, and they're sort of a little bit hard to predict, but they have also, you know, they've shipped 4 goals against City. The Spurs game was very, very chaotic and Spurs were down to 9, so it's still hard to get a read on Chelsea. And I think one thing Newcastle are very good at home is not being silly. So, you know, I think a win for Newcastle.
We could play Lewis Hall in an eligible player and get thrown out the league. You never know. Andy, you've gone for Burnley versus West Ham.
And I've gone for West Ham to come back from what is a very difficult trip, return trip to do in one day, because Burnley is longer than you think, actually.
Yes.
But they will come back at 3 a.m. or wherever with 3 points, I think.
Injury-ravaged West Ham at the moment.
That's true, but I think there's still enough quality there. There's always the feeling that they could be slightly let down by their defence. They've conceded a lot of chances this season. I don't reckon Burnley are in a position to take advantage of that.
All right, well, Vish, you've gone for Forest at Brighton. What are you going for this one?
I have. I've gone for a draw because Forest are good at home, and I actually think this would be a very entertaining game because, you know, Brighton are just a very fun side. I was going to lean towards a Brighton win, actually, because Awoniyi is out. You know, I think he's going to be out for a few months now, yeah. But I think they'll carry them through, and who knows, Divock Origi might score a goal. But I'm going for a draw. Yeah,
smashing. Well, I'm also going for a draw in the Manchester City versus Liverpool match. So it'll be really exciting, and everyone's going to, you know, overplay how important it is. But I think it's going to be a draw. And I was the only one last week who actually bagged it. I'm starting to take this competition seriously. All right, lads, because before. It's just a bit of admin I got at the end of the week. Now I'm taking it seriously, so you better watch out. Yeah?
That's good to hear.
And you want praise for this,
do you? I want praise for doing bare minimum. All right, thank you very much. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £447.87. If we win, all that delicious moolah will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will be donating £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Opt-in required. Previous deposit required too. Max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum odds of 1.5 on minimum one leg. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org.
James Caruso says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
It's Jack's encyclopedia. The last time I looked after this match, was that last week? Our absolute the torrent of manic stuff. Or was it? Yeah, I think it was.
The
Stadium Gate, I think it might have been.
Well, because week
before last, wasn't it?
We listened to that in the car, which was very amusing, me and my children. Now, occasionally.
What have they learned?
They have a little go at Jack's Encyclopedia.
Yes.
And we had unwittingly played that round earlier in the holiday because they wanted to play it one night at dinner.
Right.
So we had done that, and obviously they were a lot better at it than everyone else. So you know, you've got the 12 and the 10 year old going,
right.
Elland Road! Just Elland Road!
I'm turning this car around. Has somebody given you access to the old Jack's Encyclopedia databases?
I can't reveal my sources, right, okay. Pete. Come on.
Vish, I very much enjoyed, but while we were chatting about Andy's loud and frightening life in the car, you were squeezing your water bottle because it was making a little squeaky noise.
Yeah, I was drinking out of it and then it started whistling.
Yeah, Vish is drinking out of the sort of bottle you see at a truck stop with tomato sauce in it. It's very enjoyable.
It really, really looks like it's a
it
big
It really looks like he's drinking up. Tomato sauce, which is a lot
Never
of...
Never authentic Heinz.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Off-brand only. All in Polish. It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll play Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. We'll kick things off with you, Andy, if that's all right. Players who have played for both Liverpool and Man City since 1990. So just players that have made an appearance for both clubs after 1990. Liverpool, Man City, they've both played for these teams since 1990. There are 19 players to choose from.
Oh, wow, shit.
James Milner.
James Milner. He's in there.
Daniel Sturridge.
Daniel Sturridge. He's in there as well.
Raheem Sterling.
Raheem Sterling, correct.
Scott Carson.
Scott Carson, he's in there. Moustached occasionally, unmoustached at other times.
Dean Smith-Rousseau.
No.
I know it's exciting.
Got excited about the moustache.
Didi Harmon.
Didi Harmon. Lovely.
Steve McManaman.
That's a lovely show.
Yes, I like it.
Robbie Fowler.
Robbie Fowler did do that. You guys are good at this one.
David James?
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Kolo Touré.
Oh.
I like it.
That is excellent. He says, stalling for time.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Oh.
You're never getting it once the music's playing, are you?
No, no, no. Vish?
Nicolas Anelka.
Ooh, good.
Always go for Anelka in a quiz.
Yeah.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've just thought of one.
Just then. Mario Balotelli. Just came to me just in the
end. That's a good
just
one.
Just afterwards.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So annoying.
Well, you could have had Albert Riera. You could have had Craig Bellamy.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Mario Balotelli. Mark Kennedy.
Yeah.
Nigel Clough. Oh. Paul Stewart. Steve McMahon. Huh. You had your Steve McManaman.
So Steve McMahon evolves into Steve McManaman. Yeah.
And Peter Beardsley.
God,
Dietmar Hamann must be fearing Secret Santa. Right, number two. The 20 players who have made the most appearances for Jurgen Klopp throughout his career as manager. Vish, let's kick things off with you.
Salah.
Sadio Mane.
I'm only answering with players today who could fit in to the theme tune of Goldfinger, so I'm going to go Mats Hummels.
There's quite a few of them, to be fair.
Yeah, there are, yeah. I suppose. Yeah.
This is all clubs, yeah?
These are, 20 players who've made the most appearances for Jurgen Klopp throughout his career as manager.
Jordan Henderson.
304.
Roberto Firmino.
At 355. Quite a few matches. Oof.
Roman Weidenfeller.
Oh, 279.
What a loser.
You leave Roman alone.
Roman Weidenfeller.
Great stalling, by the way.
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
287.
Virgil van Dijk.
Virgil van Dijk, 233. He's in there. Only just.
Jakub Blazikowski.
Oh, my God. Glad you said it.
You know they're not your real friends, yeah?
225.
I'm going to do one of yours. It's quite risky because I don't know what I'm talking about. Goethe.
Oh, Mario.
It's probably quite late, wouldn't it?
Sorry, mate. It's not in there.
Right, Fish. Am I going to be dragged down to Andy's level?
Do
why not? Thomas Piszek.
Yeah,
it's not Thomas Piszek, it's Łukasz Piszek.
Oh, shut up.
That's who's wrong.
Oh, is he wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, no, I completely missed that. No, Thomas.
No, wrong name.
Wrong name.
You know.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
So Andy, have I got to get one?
Yeah, you've got to get one.
Yeah. Win.
Yeah, but you can't pick a foreigner.
Marcel Schmelzer's my next door neighbour, actually.
Well done, Andy. Well done, mate. You could have had Alisson, 244 matches. Andrew Robertson, 275. Dimo Vaca at 213. Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Milner, 323 matches. Huh. Joel Matip, Kevin Grosskreutz at 235. You could have had Subotic at 281. And that's your lot. We're moving on to the third round. Players who have scored five or more goals in the Premier League so far this season. Vish has a point. Andy has a point. Come on, Jim. Take us to, I'm going to say, a bewildering tiebreak.
Five or more goals in the Premier League this season.
Five or more goals in the Premier League so far this season.
Okay. Erling Haaland.
A safe bet of 13. Andy.
Mo Salah.
Mo Salah at 10. Another safe bet.
Dominic Solanke.
Six.
Wow.
Eddie Nketiah.
Eddie Nketiah. Yes, he's got the five as well.
Heung-min Son,
8.
Alvarez. Julian Alvarez. Bollocks.
Sorry, Vish, you're out for that one. Jim.
This is surprisingly hard. Ollie Watkins,
6 goals.
That was literally going to be my one. Great work.
Couldn't have got on the end of that one on the midfield, could you?
No.
Oh, I want Andy to lose, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
What do you say, Schmelzer?
Just in life.
It's been a
Callum Wilson.
7.
Callum Wilson with 7 goals. Well, I never.
Five or more goals in the Premier League. They say Saka. Bukayo Saka.
Bukayo Saka. He's near done that, Jim. He's near done that. He's washed. He's spent.
Yeah,
spent
finished player.
Finished not
player.
Serious.
Finished player. Andy?
James Maddison? I don't think that's right, is it?
Oh dear, that was to win it. Jim, Andy, you're back in.
I stopped thinking about it. there's your first mistake.
I stopped thinking about it.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline.
Me.
How many goals does Jim have, though?
Yeah, how many goals do you have this
season?
Fewer
than five,
Jim?
Right.
Andy?
Leon Bailey.
After the first incorrect answer, we only do one round, so we are moving to...
Ooh!
Tie break. We need a tie break. Have we got anything? No, tie break. Tie break. I've lost. I pressed the button too many times and it's gone. Right, Andy, Vish, tiebreaker. English players who have won the Premier League. English players who have won the Premier League. There are 95 players, and I'm going to be very tight with my fingers. All right.
I was going to ask you if we wanted to go for a cup of tea afterwards, but I don't think there is an afterwards.
No. Yeah. So I go. Andy
goes first.
James Milner.
Mm-hmm.
Every category.
David Beckham.
Paul Scholes.
Steve Bruce.
Gary Pallister.
Gary Pallister, correct.
Rio Ferdinand.
Andy Cole.
Teddy Sheringham, his best mate.
John Stones.
Got my finger firmly on the correct button on this one.
Gary Neville.
Phil Foden.
Phil Neville. This is ridiculous.
It's your own fault for the stadium round.
DJ Grillo.
DJ Grillo.
Not his name.
We all know who's talking
about.
It is his name now, though.
You can have Thomas, but you can have DJ.
No, I think you've got to disqualify over that.
Can we get a reading from the production staff?
You got to say the name. You got to disqualify for that.
Does Ronaldinho count as an adopted name?
Ronaldinho.
He adopted. DJ Grillo adopted the term DJ Grillo.
It's not his name. You got to, otherwise we're going on forever. You got to disqualify for that. I think you got disqualified for that.
I mean, Vish has been building up to this ever since he joined the Rare Bomb. Let's give him it.
You have to disqualify for that.
Vidushina
Hantaraja,
win!
Oh my god! Outrageous.
I haven't even said
outrageous.
My guess yet.
Outrageous.
I haven't said my
abuse of the official. Say the name, Carl Walker. Yeah, go fuck yourself, Vish. Well done for bringing Pugmall style disrepute to what is quite a pure and fun game for a lot of people on a Friday. All right. No. Some people live for this, yeah? Some people are going to be waiting for the keys to be jangled the weekend. This is part of their whole procedure of finishing a working week, listening to the football ramble on the commute home and hearing you.
I apologise for everyone who was playing along at home for absolutely fuck all.
You could have had I'm not fucking
get
doing
life,
that.
Jackson
Encyclopedia is done for another week. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Aircash Creator Network. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. And if you don't like the way Vish isn't getting involved with the spirit of Jackson Encyclopedia, do give him a tweet.
Come at me.
Say goodbye, Andy.
This isn't over.
Say goodbye, Jim.
See ya.
What? Goodbye. Well, I can't
say goodbye.
Goodbye
from me.
No, play my song again. Play my song again. That's the outro. Yeah.
Says goodbye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.